Today we're going to be looking at Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. A simple passage, but a passage that has quite a lot to it, really, because it's the simplest of questions that needs to be answered. But sometimes we go right past that. So listen to these words. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. There's no doubt in our world today that there's a lot of different understandings about who Jesus is. There's a lot of different thoughts about who Jesus is, and you can go around the world and get many, many different answers. Told you my opportunity in a Hindu temple in Kenya to visit there and to talk with them. And there upon the shelf, they had Jesus, just like every other idol that they believed in. They thought him of a good person, a good teacher, but that was about it. You can go to some of the other religions around the world and they think of him as the best, but not one that they're devoted to. Even in our country, there's lots of different questions and lots of different answers to this question. I read a piece this week. As we know, many people are against some of the statues that we have in our country. And I read a piece this week that a Catholic church was taking down a couple of different statues on their school property. One was of the Madonna and Child, and another one was of Jesus, because it offended people that they were trying to attract to the school. And I had to ask some questions. I thought that's what the school stood for. And that's where the school was trying to get people to look. So I really wondered about that. So, I mean, this question that Jesus asked is important. Let me tell you about the area first where he asked this. Caesarea Philippi was an area that was known for its great pagan influence. And they worshipped all kinds of gods. As a matter of fact, they worshipped every god that they could. Jesus and the disciples are in one of the most pagan-centered areas of Israel. It's throughout the whole place. There are statues, there are monuments, there are temples, there are all kinds of things there. Matter of fact, there's even something more there that people thought about. There was even a river that comes above ground in Caesarea Philippi that was thought to be the Styx River. Now, those of you that are not up on your Greek mythology, the Styx River is the river that you go down to cross over into the place of the dead. That's the last place of travel, is down the Styx River and across the Styx River into the place of hell itself. So right there in Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked this question, there are all these temples, there are all these monuments, there are all these statues that people are looking at, and there's a river that comes above ground that's thought to be the river that takes you to the place of the dead. And Jesus asked a very simple question. It is in this place that Jesus asked, "Who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? Quite a simple question, isn't it? Jesus is asking, what do people tell you about me? What are you hearing? What are you experiencing? What are people saying? Boy, I love their answer. Don't you? Well, Jesus, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Most likely by this time, John the Baptist has already been killed. People say that you are John the Baptist. Others say that you are Elijah. Gosh, wouldn't it be great to be called Elijah? Got a friend that they call their son Elijah. I hope he grows up in the dynamic ways, which I think he will. Grows up in dynamic ways. But I want you to think about this. What does it mean to be called Elijah? Because, see, Elijah didn't die. And they're saying, people are saying, Jesus, you're Elijah. That Elijah has come back. By the way, Elijah is one of two people in the Bible that did not die. I'll let you find the other one. You can come ask me another day. I'm not going to tell you today. Do a little bit of Bible searching and find out who the other person was that didn't die. And then they say that, oh, you're Jeremiah. I think this week as we study Jeremiah, looking into the 11th chapter, I'm not sure I want to be called Jeremiah. Because as we look into the 11th chapter this week, people are out to get the messenger. And they're going to start hounding Jeremiah as we read through the book of Jeremiah. They're going to hound him. They're going to put him in a pit. They're going to leave him there to die. Not sure I want to be called Jeremiah. But yes, it wouldn't bother me because Jeremiah was one who was able to communicate with God and understand God fully, deeply, and completely and share that with some people that desperately needed to know that God was still there, even though they wouldn't listen. Oh, Jesus, they say that you're one of the prophets. By the way, most of the prophets did not have good things happen to them. Because they spoke for God. And sometimes people didn't want to hear what God had to say. But you see, Jesus takes that question and he turns it around. Because the question of who Jesus is and who do people say he is, that question, who do people say Jesus is? That question is not the most important question. It is not the most important question of their time or of ours. It doesn't matter how many people I go out and poll on the streets and what they have to say about who Jesus is. It doesn't matter what every religion around the world has to say about who Jesus is. That's not the most important question. And you see, I can get caught up in that. I can get caught up in debating who Jesus is. I can get caught up in debating that and talking with folks and explaining to folks, well, no, this is who Jesus is. That's not the most important question. The most important question is this. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? That's the most important question. Who do you proclaim Jesus to be? How do you know Jesus? And the biblical understanding of knowing someone is an intimate relationship with them. It's not just acknowledging something. It's not just understanding some facts. It is an intimate, powerful, deep relationship with another individual. In this case, it's a deep and powerful relationship with Jesus. It's not just saying, well, Jesus is the Savior of the world. You see, that's kind of answering the first question. Who do people say Jesus is? Now you need to get right down to the nitty-gritty of things. Who do you say that Jesus is? How would you share with someone else about Jesus? And I find many people telling me, well, I haven't studied the Bible all the way through, so I don't feel good about telling other people about who Jesus is. I have a difficulty sharing about Jesus because I can't answer their questions. I have a difficulty because I don't understand all the things in the Bible. Can I confess to you? I've been studying the Bible for over 20 years. Almost 30 now. And I can't answer every question that people have. And I never will be able to. I've acknowledged that and I've understood that. I've acknowledged that I can't explain everything about Jesus. I've acknowledged that I can't explain to you about the Trinity. I can tell you about it. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all different and they're all the same. Try that on a math board. Doesn't work that way, does it? 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. That's what the Trinity says. And we all go, what? I can't explain everything to you. I can't take all the passages of the Bible and look at this one and say, here's how they all fit together. Sometimes the best thing I can tell you is, you know what? There's some tension here about what these two things mean. Because we talked about that in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, where the book of Deuteronomy says foreigners will never be allowed in the kingdom of God. Never, 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 never. And then Isaiah says, yes, they will. And now I scratch my head. You see, I meet a lot of people that want to explain away Jesus, or want to say, I don't know all the answers about Jesus, so therefore I can't tell. And you know what? That's not true. What's true is each and every one of you are here because you know Jesus. That's what I've heard you proclaim. That's what you've sung today. That's what you said amen to during prayers. And if you proclaim Jesus, you can share about Jesus. You can talk to others about Jesus. And you can tell people who you believe Jesus to be. I could maybe say it as you read on social media so many times. In my humble opinion, this is who Jesus is for me. In my humble opinion, this is who I've come to know as Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus has done for me. And you see, Simon does that. Simon says, well, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the great one who has come. And Jesus says, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful answer. But Peter, you didn't get that on your own. Now I really wonder, is Peter still standing up proud? Because he said, you didn't get it on your own. Heaven has helped you to understand that. Heaven has helped you to see that. The Holy Spirit has come within your life, and you've come to acknowledge who Jesus Christ is for yourself. And you see, folks, that is the most important question. Because there will be one day that you will stand before God. And God will want to know, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And the answer then is not, well, some people thought he was John the Baptist. And some people thought he was one of the prophets. And some people thought he was the greatest, like Elijah. And God will say, what about you? What do you believe? What did you live? What did you acknowledge in your life? How did you share that with other folks? How did you talk to them about that? as I continue to see the different media over this month, there is a great, great need for people to know Jesus Christ on a very personal level. And that is the only thing that will change some of the things that are happening in our country. Diplomacy is not going to change it. Laws are not going to change it. Beating people about the heads with sticks is not going to change it. None of that's going to change it. People coming to know who Jesus Christ is what's going to change it. Not fighting over issues in politics. People coming person by person, coming to know Jesus Christ. And what that takes is that takes people that are church folks that know how to share that with other folks. That know how to say, I met Jesus Christ and He changed my life. He has redeemed me. He has transformed me. He has renewed me. He has helped me to be who God wants me to be. Helping me to understand shalom, the very peace of God, the fullness of God, the fullness of who God wants me to be. Now, there's really a question behind. I told you this is the most important question. But there's another question for me that's behind this question. There's another question behind this question that's even more important. And that is this. This question implies, do you live your belief? Do you live your belief? That's what the question implies. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, deeply, personally, intimately, then you will live that belief. It's not a belief that you just come on Sundays and acknowledge. It's not a belief that maybe you come on Wednesday night and you acknowledge. It's a belief that you live each and every moment. It's a belief that you step out into this world recognizing the fact that you are going to meet people who need Jesus Christ. And when you recognize that fact and you know Jesus, then you realize you've got to do something about it. Because God has not tasked just pastors to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. God has tasked every person to do that. Do you live your belief? Maybe you've heard it this way, they can talk the talk, but they can't what? Each and every day you've got to walk that walk. I still remember, told you I worked in the shipyard. There's so many experiences out of 12 years in the shipyard up and down the East Coast on different Navy ships. I'll never run out of sermon illustrations if I think about what I did for 12 years. But I remember one time, I was up in the overhead on a ladder and another guy was on the ladder and we were pulling in a new cable. And if you don't know what it means to pull cable, let me help you find a job pulling cable. It's not easy. It's dirty. It's disgusting. The cable we were pulling was like about this big from one end of the ship to the other. Okay, I'm not talking about pulling it 10, 20 feet. It physically went from one end of the ship to the other. A couple of hundred yards by the time we were done. Right, Dennis? It's a lot of it. As we were up in the overhead pulling, there were a couple of guys down in the passageway that were helping feed us the cable and also take it after we got it through some cableways that we needed to get it through. The other guy that was on the other ladder, his hand slipped And he hit it on something. And he said some of those words that none of us know. You understand what I'm talking about? Which I understand. I came down off the ladder, and as I came off the ladder, all the other guys that I worked with were standing right there. About four or five guys. And they were all looking at me. And I said, "What?" And they looked at me and they said, "We heard what you said." And I said, "I didn't say anything." "Oh, yes, you did. And you have told us you're a Christian. And you've told us you're a deacon at your church. You shouldn't be using words like that." Now, I want you to understand these guys. None of them went to church. None of them saw that a need in their lives. None of them believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But they knew what I stood for. And they knew who I proclaimed as my Savior. And they told me, "You shouldn't be doing things like that." Now, that meant a whole lot to me. Because here's these guys, and many of them I had worked with for over 10 years, who thought so much of me and what I proclaimed to them that they wanted to keep me accountable. Fortunately, it wasn't about another 2 or 3 minutes, and the other guy came off the other ladder, and he saw them berating me and reproving me and rebuking me and explaining to me that those words should not have come out of my mouth. And I realized by that point in time there was no way I was going to convince them it wasn't me. And I just gave up. And Mike stepped up and Mike stood there and he said, "He didn't say them. I did." And all of them went, "Oh." But folks, what I'm talking about is, do you live what your belief is in such a way that when you don't live that belief, people recognize it? Do you live it in such a way that people would look at you and go, "Wait a minute, I thought you said you knew Jesus Christ as your Messiah, as your sacred one, as your Savior, as your Lord"? You see, folks, this is an important question. It's not just standing up one time in your life and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, being baptized, becoming a member of a church, and attending when it's convenient. It's not just that. It's what happens when you get up tomorrow morning. It's what happens on Tuesday afternoon when somebody says something to you that they shouldn't say. It's what happens on Thursday when you see someone who has a need. It's what happens when you recognize on Friday that somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ. What do you share? How do you talk to them? I still will never forget one intro I had with a guy that I worked with. And I think I've shared this with you before. We were riding to the ship and I said, "Tom, hasn't God given us a wonderful day?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yo, you know what?" He said, "I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Can you tell me about Jesus Christ?" I was like, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" But he opened right up. Just because I said, "Didn't God give us a wonderful day?" Had checks for a long time that had rainbows on them. Went into a business one time, was writing out my check to pay them. Yeah, I know, that's an old thing nowadays. I'm dating myself. We don't use checks too much to pay for things, do we? And the lady behind the counter looked at me and she said, "Oh, isn't that nice? A guy with rainbows on his checks." And I said, "Yeah, it is nice. It is very nice because I know what God communicated to us by the rainbow. He told us He would never destroy the world again by water. By the way, we need to lift up the people in Texas because they have doubts on that right now. And they will have doubts on that through Thursday. Because that remnants of the tropical storm is not supposed to move out of their area until after Thursday. The last I heard was 25 inches of rain, and I'm sure the prospect for rain has gone up even further since I heard that. I can't imagine in 5 days 25 inches of rain. But I told the lady, I said, "I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I know what God communicated through the rainbow. And I know the promise that God has given." Well, I'm sorry to say that kind of ended our conversation. But at least I got a word in. I got a word in. There's one lady at one of the local stores here that I went a couple of weeks ago to buy something. And she looked at me as she was checking me out and she said, "Hey, I like your prayer beads." And I looked at her and I said, "It's nice to meet somebody that knows what they are." Now I'm looking forward to go back to the store, have her check my products out so that maybe I can talk to her a little bit more about why I wear prayer beads and why they're important to me. You see, folks, you've got to answer the question, who do you say Jesus is? But then, well, the question that is implied by that question is, do you live your belief in this world? And do people know it? And can they experience Jesus Christ through you as you walk in this world? So I'm going to leave you with this. Are your actions in line with your spoken belief? Are your actions in line with your spoken belief? Sometimes it's easy to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." But are your actions in line with that? Let us pray. Lord, this world needs your influence. There are many who are saying that things are getting so bad that this may be the end times. There are many who are saying that this can never be straightened out. But Lord, the truth is that you are the God who can straighten all of this out. But the truth is you need us to live that. You need us to be out there proclaiming Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and what we know about that. And then you need us living that instead of living the ways of this world. So, Lord, it's good that we can answer the question on who Jesus is. But what's even better is if we can get out in the midst of the world and we can live who that Jesus is. So that this world might see, might understand, and might experience different than what's happening right now. So Lord, guide us, direct us, encourage us, and help us to be your people in a dynamic and explosive way that people may be able to answer the question of, who is Jesus to me? And how will I live that? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.